Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we human beings, we live in time. And time is a mode of being. Time has a beginning and it has an end. When we speak about time, we speak about past time and present time and future time. And living in time, we experience good days and bad, riches and poverty, health and sickness, setbacks and disappointments. And when that happens, we do not always fully understand why we have a setback or a disappointment. Why God sends us a sickness, and why we need to experience suffering and pain. And you and I do not fully understand why God does this, because living in time means that we live with a limited perspective. We forget so much about the past. And we do not fully know what the future will bring. And moreover, we do not know the mind of God. Especially that last point is important, because there is more to reality than the realm of time. There is also the realm of eternity. And because you and I do not fully understand why God sometimes sends us suffering and pain in this life, it is so easy to begin to think that God has forgotten us, or that God no longer cares for us. It is so easy to shrink God to our own limited perspective. And when we do that, when we shrink the great God to our own limited perspective, we forget to live in the interactive and immediate presence of God through faith. That's what life is about. It's about living in God's presence, God's interactive presence. And when I say God's interactive presence, I mean that God is always speaking to us in one way or another, through the weather, through other things in creation, through the circumstances of our lives, even this afternoon in a very concentrated form, through the proclamation of the Word of God, God is interacting with us. He is drawing close to us, and He is speaking to us. But He does that 24/7, so to speak. And God wants us to live in His interactive presence through faith. And you remember what faith is. I may have used this metaphor once before, but faith is putting your full weight on God. Just like all of you are, and this is what I probably told you before, just like all of you are putting your full weight on the chair in which you're sitting. Not one of you is nervous, wondering whether the legs of the chair will hold you and whether you'll land up on the floor. You trust the chair. You put your full weight on the chair. And that's a nice little metaphor of faith. You put your full weight on your promising God, who is always with you, always near to you, who will lead and guide your life according to his perfect design. But God doesn't want us to shrink him to our own limited perspective. God doesn't want us to start thinking, oh, you've forgotten us. You don't care about us anymore. He wants us to continue, even in these nebulous times of our lives, he wants us to continue to trust him, to continue to humbly and patiently submit to his leading in our lives, also when the leading is painful. And he wants us to continue to expect all good from him alone. And in doing so, personally get to know your God better in the setbacks and disappointments and the pain of life. Recently, I talked to someone who went through a rough time, and he mentioned to me how close he felt to God during that rough time. And I reminded him what someone once had said, that God puts us on our backs sometimes to make us look up. And, you know, and he said to me, I sometimes long back for that time. Because now when things are going pretty well, I guess the implication was doesn't always feel that close to God. So it was a very rich time for him. And he got to know his God better in the pain, in the suffering, because he didn't shrink God to his own consciousness of reality, but he let God be God. Well, this problem that you and I have, because we live in time, this problem of shrinking God to what we can imagine God would do or would not do, was also Israel's problem. And as you know, the book of Isaiah is written or divided up into three parts, and the chapters 1 to 39 are about Israel before it was sent into exile, more precisely Judah, the two tribes. And then 40 to 55 is addressed to Judah, or generically Israel, while they are living in exile. And then the chapters 56 to 66 are addressed to Judah, or the church, the remnant that has returned from exile and is back in the promised land. So we're in the second part of Isaiah. And they're in exile. And we see just how weary, spiritually weary, they have become. And we see just how such a limited perspective they have while they are living in exile. They do not fully understand what God has done and what God is doing in their lives. And so Isaiah quotes them as saying, "Our way is hidden from the Lord." It's like God has lost track of us. God has forgotten us. You say, well, how could people ever begin to think that? Well, yeah, that's what some people begin to think. Maybe we all have that inclination. And they are thinking this. And they say, our cause is disregarded by our God. We could paraphrase and say, God really doesn't care about us anymore. And so they shrink God to their own limited perspective. And now the message of our text of this afternoon is, this is not so. God has not forgotten them. And it is not so that their cause is disregarded by their God. Because their God is the eternal God. And I'd like to briefly just unpack that word eternal for you in three different ways. First of all, when the Bible speaks about God being the eternal God, the Bible means that God does not come into existence, nor does God go out of existence. God does not have a beginning or an end. Before the mountains were brought forth, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And so God always was, and God always will be, because as the eternal God, God has life in himself. We derive our life from God, but God has life in and of himself. And as such, God is the creator. God is the generator of all of life. We are because God is. You need to remember that. Also, when you witness to other people, and people ask you about God, and they say God doesn't exist, you know, you just need to simply say, we are because God is. And if God would not be, we wouldn't be, because we derive our existence and our life from God. And God is not only the creator or the generator of life. The beautiful thing is, God is also the sustainer of all of life. We continue to be because God is. Every breath we take because God is. God is sustaining us. And here you see the ridiculousness of you and someone else having a conversation about God and wondering whether God exists or not. The other person wonders that. And the other person doesn't even realize that the very fact that he's breathing, the very fact that he's alive, the very fact that he's able to have a conversation with you is due to the fact that the eternal God is upholding him, is sustaining him, that the eternal God surrounds him with his eternity. As the Apostle Paul wrote so beautifully, or spoke so beautifully on the Areopagus in Athens, when he was speaking about the unknown God, and he said to those philosophers, in him we live and move and have our being. You need to take that literally. In God we live and move and have our being. Where shall I go from your spirit, right? The Spirit of God just permeates all of reality, gives life to creation, gives life to you and me, upholds us and sustains us. We live and move and have our being in God. So it's not true that this God has forgotten people. Second, when we speak about God being the eternal God, we also mean that God transcends time. Time with its ups and downs. Time with its setbacks and disappointments. Accordingly, with God, there is no succession of moments. There is no past for God. There is no present for God like we experience the present. And there is no future for God like you and I experience the future. Instead, because God is the eternal God, he lives in the eternal present, his eternal present. He sees all of time, all our time, our past, our present and our future. He sees it all together. And as such, he always remembers our past. He always knows our future. And he always understands our present. And third, when we speak about God being the eternal God, we also mean that God is in absolute control of all of time. And he makes all of time subservient to his eternal purposes. And as such, God enters time and he permeates every and each moment of time with his eternity. And accordingly, we always live in the interactive and immediate presence of the Eternal One. Some of you may be familiar with the name of Herman Bavinck, a well-known Reformed dogmatician, a theologian, and he writes so beautifully that each moment of time beats with the pulse of God's eternity. You can just put your fingers on your pulse and you can feel your heart beating right by at your pulse. And because God enters time and permeates all of time with his eternity, you can feel the pulse beat of God's eternity as you're sitting here in the church. And when you leave the church and go to your homes, and if God gives us Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, wherever you are, you can actually feel the pulse beat of God's eternity as you and I live our lives in time. And you understand, of course, that Isaiah writes this because he wants Israel to remember this. Israel, who actually thinks that God has forgotten her and that God no longer cares for her. Isaiah wants Israel to know that as the eternal God, their past is not a past with God. Their future is not a future with God. Their God lives in the eternal present. Their God never has a limited perspective. Think back at ourselves again. We have this problem of a limited perspective. And God sees all of time in one moment. And so the eternal God never has a problem with a limited perspective. And Isaiah is implicitly saying to Israel, there you are with your complaints. Now please, in the name of God, in the name of the eternal God, do not limit this eternal God to your own limited perspective. Don't you realize that as the eternal God, he sees everything. He knows everything. And he understands everything. His understanding is unsearchable. And I can't think of a better commentary on God's understanding being unsearchable than what we read in Psalm 139. God knows when we sit down and when we rise. God perceives our thoughts from afar. God is familiar with all of our ways. Before a word is on our tongues, God knows it altogether. How could this God, brothers and sisters, forget about them? How could this God not care about them? This is why I picked the theme that I did. When we are inclined to think that God has forgotten us or does not care about us, what do we need to do? Well, a certain spiritual discipline needs to kick in, namely the discipline of remembering. We need to remember that God is the eternal God. Well, what is good for Israel, brothers and sisters, is good for you and me as well. We need to remember this too. And so this afternoon, the Lord is asking you and me, where are we hurting? Where are you and I experiencing setbacks and disappointments in our lives? Where are you and I struggling with the purposes of God in our lives? Where are you and I tempted to shrink God to our own limited perspective of time? God also wants you and me to remember that He is the eternal God, that we always live in His interactive and immediate presence. God wants you and me to trust this. And you remember the metaphor for trust. God wants you and me to put our full weight on this eternal God. And you know, sometimes we have more faith in a church pew or a chair in a church than we have in the maker of the chair in the church. And yet, God wants us to put our full weight on Him and learn to get to know Him better in the ups and downs of life. And God wants us to do so by looking to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith. Listening to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith and allowing ourselves to be led by the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ in faith. And why do I bring in this faith in Jesus Christ at the end? Well, I do so because the Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal God, right? He who was in the form of God, remember that from this morning? The Lord Jesus Christ, He is the eternal God who entered into time and who permeates all of time with His eternity. And so from the perspective of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can say all of time beats with the pulse of the eternity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're back to Lord's Day 1 again. You're not your own, but you belong to the eternal Lord Jesus Christ. And then the third part of that answer says so beautifully, He leads me in such a way that not a hair falls from my head without the will of His Heavenly Father. Boom, 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 boom. Just hear the beat of the love and the care of your eternal Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He always lived in the interactive presence of His Heavenly Father. Look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not once did He really think that his heavenly Father had forgotten him or did not care about him. Only during those 3 hours on the cross does he cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But he did that because he bore the curse for you and for me. The rest of his life, he's always putting his faith and his trust in his heavenly Father. And he felt the pulse beat of the love of his heavenly Father all the time. And why did Jesus do that? He did it for you. He did it for me. He knows that you and I find it so difficult to put our full weight on the love and the understanding and the eternalness of our Heavenly Father. So he did it for you and for me. And now he wants to do it in you with his Holy Spirit. As you learn to abide in him through faith, like a branch abides in a vine. Amen. Let us sing together number 198, stanza 1.